Book of Daniel this morning, chapter 2. Book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, let's start reading in verse 1, I suppose. Good to be back here this morning. We were up in Pennsylvania last week, and the only thing that I can say is it's nice to be at home in familiar surroundings. Amen? Don't like to be away. I think I'm getting old. I think it's official. When you don't like to get far from the house and you start getting letters from the AARP in the mail, you are old. Amen. All right, Daniel chapter 2, let's read. I want to talk to you a little bit about prayer this morning. I can't emphasize it enough. You can't emphasize it enough in your preaching. You can't emphasize it enough in your own life that we need to pray. The Lord said that men ought always to pray. Amen. The Bible says to pray lifting up holy hands. And that's not just idle talk. Amen. That's not trying to tell you anything about ritual or anything like that. It's something that has to be sincere. And you can't fool God. You can talk and fool your wife, maybe. You can talk and fool your husband. But you can't talk and fool God. A lot of people, when they're praying, they're talking to themselves. I don't know if you know that or not. But that's true. A lot of people, when they pray, they're just reciting a wish list. Amen. Or either they're telling God what he wants to hear, they think. You know, woman, you're so beautiful. You're as beautiful as the day we met. That means I need a new rifle. I need a new pistol. That's usually what that sort of talk means from insincere people. And there are a lot of insincere Christians when it comes to prayer. And when I got this pain in my side. Oh, God, I'm sorry. No. That's what you think God wants to hear. And I'm not saying that God won't use that to get you correct, but make sure that when you go to prayer in that kind of a mode, make sure you are serious. God, I really am sorry. I've had pains before and prayed about it. Oh, God, you know, went through the motions. Oh, God, please help me and heal me and forgive me. And the pain was still there the next day. Was I really sorry yesterday? Because we know God answers prayer, don't we? And I expect God to hear my prayer, don't you? God expects me to pray. And David, that's biblical. David said, my expectation is of the Lord. Amen. So this is real. Christianity is real. The Bible is real. Amen. Preaching is real. When you hear a message, it's real. It's that sort of thing is forever. I don't know if you know it or not, but some of you might have been in church a year or maybe a couple of weeks or something like that, but some of you have been in church all your life. And where you are now as far as your Christianity is concerned is a sum total of all the sermons you've ever heard, and you don't remember one half of a half of a half of a half of what you heard. What'd you hear preached last week? You might be able to tell me that. 6 weeks ago in Sunday school, what did you hear? Let me go check YouTube. You don't remember, but that stuff had a part in making you what you are right now. When I was a little boy, hearing Carl Lackey preach on Sunday morning, 1975, that part of what I heard that morning makes me what I am now because it's real. Just like, you know, 7 hours a day of M&M and Ice Cube and iced tea and don't you see how ridiculous that is? Just from calling out their names. And you suppose that's building? I'm not talking about the iced tea you drink. It's Lord have mercy. But just hearing that stuff, he's the greatest rapper ever. It's nursery rhymes. They're rough nursery rhymes, but they are nursery rhymes. A third grader can do that. Amen? But you listen to that stuff week after week, year after year. It's in the background. It's playing while you're taking a shower and playing while you're doing your homework. And that stuff has an effect on you. And in that very, along those very same lines, your prayer life, if it's real to you, it has an effect on you. And if your prayer life is just, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray, that also has an effect on you in that it's just not real. It gives you a sense, oh, I'm okay. I prayed yesterday and I talked to Jesus. And before long, you're just living this ritualistic, habitual life where you'll just, I mean, I met a lady in Fancy Gap, Virginia, knocking on doors one day. She was a little old lady, and she told me with all the sincerity in the world that her favorite Bible verse was the one about the footprints. But she was as serious as anybody that gets down beside their bed every night and say, oh, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins and help me and bless my husband and bless my cousin and thank you for all you've done for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hop in bed, not a thought about it. And as quick as you got on your knees and as quick as you got off of your knees, your mind goes back to whatever you spend most of your time thinking about and worrying about. Well, Brother Mike, I'm a human being. This is life. No, prayer can be your life. God can be your life. Believing can be your life. And to me, this is real. Brother Mike, why do you get upset about some things? Because this is real. If you have to pray and read your Bible every day and stay in touch with God and have fellowship with God. If you're saved, you have relationship. And people talk about relationship a lot, and what they mean is fellowship. I'm related to my mom and dad. My dad is my dad. That's our relationship. And you talk about relationship all the time because you hear it on the Hallmark movies. You think relationship is you and your wife or you and your girlfriend getting along with one another. That's not relationship. Getting along with one another is fellowship. But because relationship. You've been listening to Dr. Spock and all that junk too long. People don't know. But you hear these talk shows 24 hours a day. Let's build better relationships. My daddy is as much my daddy as he can ever be. You don't build relationships. You build fellowship. The Bible says that God has nothing to do with darkness. And if you do, you can't have fellowship. But if your prayer life is, oh, God, bless me and help me and thank you for your blessings and thank you for all you've done and help my husband make a lot of money or help my wife make a lot of money, and that's the extent of your fellowship, you don't have any fellowship. But you can fool yourself into thinking that to the point where when you become a little old lady, your favorite verse will be the one about the footprints because you don't know where you are. Amen. But you... Brother Mike, you always get upset about stuff because when I was listening to preaching as a kid, the preacher said it was this way, I believe that. The Bible said it was this way, I believe that. It wasn't when I go to church, it's this way. When I go home, it's that way. When I go to work, it's that way. That's not the way this life works. You're deceiving yourself if you think that's... You're living in a world that's not realistic. At church, you're a Christian. At work, you're a good old boy. Amen. In the real life, you are God's son if you're saved, and you're God's son at home, and you're God's son when you're at church. You're God's son while you're by yourself and nobody's looking. You're God's son when you're listening to the radio. You're God's son when you're watching TV. Amen. And the Christian life is nowhere more real than it is when you're praying. And if you open your ears while you're praying, you'll realize that that's true. Oh, God, I'm so sorry for my sins. And God says, are you? You say, how does he do that? Because I believe with all my heart God uses the scripture. God uses what you've heard in preaching. Brother Mike, I don't believe that. I don't care if you believe or not. I'm telling you. I couldn't tell you the amount of times that when I'm praying and looking for answers and asking God to help me and lead me and direct me, he uses the scripture. Hey, this verse, you've read this a million times. Think about this. Or the preacher said last week, listen, if you come to church this morning and thinking, boy, I hope Brother Mike, I hope Brother Allen, I hope Brother Mark got a good sermon this morning. If you come to hear Brother Mike or Brother Allen or Brother Mark or Brother Mike or anybody else, you come to hear a man, the only man you're probably going to hear is you. I don't like that. I don't agree with that. I don't think he ought to say that. I don't think it ought to be. If you come and to hear God, you can probably hear God whether it's your favorite preacher or not. And I believe it all starts with prayer. Amen? You know why teenagers will go with the flow while they're teenagers, and then when they get 18, they don't have to do it no more. They fall out because they were just, they were here. They've got to be here. They have to be here. Mom and daddy made them come here. And so while they're here, they go along with the program, and yay, isn't it so fun, and we've got a gym, and we can play basketball and shoot pool, and we just have to sit in the church and listen for a few minutes. Your fellowship is not there with God. You might be saved, but you can't live on your mom and daddy's fellowship. You can't do it. You just can't do it. It has to be real. You and God have to have fellowship. And the first time you get on your knees sincerely praying to God and you come to him with a bunch of junk, he's going to say, I'm not listening to that. And you probably hear it like, I don't feel like God's listening to me. It's because he's not. Well, I just need to go tell God my problems. He already knows your problems. He knows you're messed up in the head. He knows you're a crazy old man. He knows you're a crazy teenager. He knows all about you already. God, I just don't feel like myself today. God, I feel like nobody loves me or cares. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. How many times has anybody, if you're a preacher, Sunday school teacher, a parent, I guess that would be also a good illustration, but how many times has somebody come to you and told you what was wrong or what was needful in somebody else's life versus how many times they've come to you and told you what they need? Hey, preacher, I need. Hey, preacher, that's the way people go to God and thinking God doesn't know. Amen? And we'll see this a little bit in a minute, how God changes people's life as they pray in sincerity. And if you'll get to the place where you realize Job, God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And prayer is not going to always be a me, 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 me thing. It's not going to be that way. And we're going to see that here a little bit. If I don't move on with the sermon, boy, I'll be preaching this next week too, and I don't want to do that. Let's read in Daniel chapter 2. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans. I wonder how many of you this morning are going to the astrology section of the newspaper every morning. You would not believe the amount of Christians that I've run into that put stock in astrology. Brother Mike, I'm a Capricorn. Big deal. Big deal. Brother Mike, don't you think it means nothing? No, you're an idiot. You are an idiot. That's as nice as I can be about that. That is foolishness. That is That is Mickey Mouse, fairy tale. That, stop that. These people have no answers. We went up to Philadelphia, or where did we go to pick up Brother Mark? Somewhere up in Pennsylvania. And we pulled up to this intersection, and we were talking about something. I looked over across the road, and there was this big old palm reader sign. They got great big signs and nice buildings, and people are going there and putting money into those places. Can you tell me what's going to... No. No, they can't. That is not going to help you. But people put their hope and trust in stuff, like just like they put it in talk shows and stuff. I believe that Christians listen a lot of times to stuff like Rush Limbaugh for some kind of validation. Look, if somebody, you know, oh, I see you're a good man. This line here means you're have a very good heart and you're caring. That's all that mess is, validation. Turn it on the radio. Yeah, you conservatives are the greatest people in America, and all these other people are trying to tear you down. At the end of the day, you're a little madder than you was at Democrats, but you feel a little better about yourself. Rush is right, and Rush is on my side. You need to get away from that stuff and get in your Bible. The best thing you could ever do is turn off Fox News and turn off CNN and get in your Bible and read. And when you come across something in the Bible that's contrary to you and contrary to your life, get on your knees and pray and say, God, help me. That is where the answer is. It's in God. It's not in your newspaper astrology section. It's not in, you know, Lord have mercy. There's a lot of crazy people, including preachers, in the newspaper. I've read every crazy thing in my life come out of a newspaper before it got on CNN or anything like that. But my soul, you wouldn't believe how many people. I've got to check my charts today. And here's your charts. Amen. Amen. Brother Mike, why would you spend 5 minutes on astrology? Because there's people. There's people in here that are looking for answers. There are people in this building who would come to me and say, Brother Mike, I'm having this problem. Do you have an answer? Have you prayed about it yet? Have you prayed about it? Listen, you have access to God just like Daniel did, just like your pastor does, just like your Sunday school teacher does. You have access to God. And the Christian life is really set up to where you can go get in your closet or wherever you pray by yourself, get alone, pray, confess to God your faults, your failures, your sins, all of the above. They're not separate things. Confess them to God. Say, God, help me, and God, lead me, and God, guide me, and give me the answers. And if God doesn't use the Word of God or preaching directly to help you and strengthen you and direct you, then after a while, you'll get the leading, I believe. Maybe I need to go. I've been dealing with this for some time now. Maybe I need to go talk with my pastor now and ask him directly. But so many times, people are so quick, the problem comes up, and right now, I got to have the answer. And I'm not blaming you for that. You want the answer. But right now, I got to go ask somebody else. Right now, I got to go talk to this one or that one or the other one and see if they can solve my problem. No, that's your opportunity to go to God and get help from God. And after God helps you as an individual, you'll be a little bit stronger. You'll be a little bit more established. You have a little bit more confidence. Hey, I said I believed in God, and when push come to shove, I went to God, and God heard me, and God spoke to me, and God talked to me, and God directed me, and the direction that God gave me led me out to the right spot. And the next time a problem comes along, you say, boy, I better get to God and pray right now. Amen. Amen. That's the way you ought to live your life. Now, he said, went to the Chaldeans and all that good stuff. Verse 3, the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces. and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Tell that to your psychic reader the next time you go to him. You tell me the answer, I'm going to kill you. Kill all your family. Well, sir, we don't think we can serve you today. That's what I thought. We'll see you later. Just don't go to begin with. Amen. Take my warning about that. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream. We will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Now I want you to notice, we'll talk about Nebuchadnezzar for just a minute. He had urgency. And that's a lot of times what gets us. I was having a talk with one of my girls yesterday, and this subject came up, and the one thing that gets people, whether they're saved or lost, and breaks people, whether they're saved or lost, more than anything else, is urgency. I need the answer to this right now. I need the solution to this right now. Whereas you and I as Christians, if we really have good fellowship with God, we understand that God doesn't do anything for us right now. He might do it once in a while right now, but that's not the normal mode for God to work. God is not in right now mode. God does things in his own time. How long is God going to let me go through this? God is going to let you go through this, whatever this is. And we could talk about human problems till the cows come on. We could spend a lot of time on that, and I'd be happy to do it because I like to preach a long time. Amen? I like to preach a long time like you like to play video games a long time or watch TV a long time. Don't get on to me about preaching an hour when you watch Lord of the Rings for 3 hours and 25 minutes. Well, you're not as entertaining as TV is. I know, and that's what's wrong with you. That's not what's wrong with me. That's what's wrong with you. Amen? Amen. People would like to see men with little pointy ears better than they'd like to hear about Daniel in the lion's den. That's just the way that it is. But one of these days you'll realize this preaching stuff is real and this Bible stuff is real. Amen. And the reason why you want to get home so fast and the reason why you want the preacher to get done so fast is because you got urgency to be somewhere else. That's true as true can be. Man, if there was something going on in your life and you really wanted answers, you'd spend a lot of time in your Bible. I believe I can get by with just one chapter today. Halfway through the chapter, I believe I'll save the rest of this chapter for later. You're not going to get help that way. Amen. You're not going to get answers that way. Amen. Listen, people will run to the preacher. Oh God, preacher, help me. Oh God, I need help. I need help. The whole world's against me. Oh, help me. But they won't go to God the same way. Amen. Have you ever thought about going to God with the same urgency that you go to man, the same urgency? I mean, the people have so much urgency that they're so desperate that they'll bite the head off of loved ones. They'll bite the head off of people that care about them because the people that care about them won't meet all their needs right now. And they'll go run around with somebody that has none of their interest at heart. Somebody that's as selfish as the day is long. Somebody that's going to use them for all they're worth. And they'll put all, of their heart into somebody else, something else besides God, just because that person will say, oh, I love you. Urgency. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream. Man, this is bothering me so bad, I got to have the answer right now. Who did he call? All the people that could not help him. Go get them. Go get them right now. And if Nebuchadnezzar was honest with himself, those people had never helped him before in his life. Told him lies and made him feel better about himself. I said they told him lies and made him feel better about himself. That's why the Bible calls them soothsayers. And truth of the matter is, probably most of the time when Christians go to pray, that's all they're looking for, is God the soothsayer. I need soothing. Well, God be happy to give you that soothing. But you have to figure out what it is that God wants to do in you and through you and for you in order to get that soothing. See, God wants to transform you. God wants to change you. God wants to do things for you. But he can't just take you as you are, the way you think, the way you go about things, and do anything with you because you ain't worth nothing. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying we're all sinners. We all come short. What does that mean? Is that real or is that just something we go through, something we say? It's real. We really have given in to this self-worth, self-esteem. If I was the only one, Jesus would have died for me. No, he wouldn't have. No, he would not have. Amen. How do you know, Brother Mike? I've read my Bible. Adam was the only one. He was the only one. Does that make sense? This life is not all about you. You're not the only one. If I was the only one, well, you're not the only one. Well, I just feel like God cares about me. Yes, he does. But you know who else he cares about more than you? Himself. This is very profound, but I've got to throw it on you. God is God. He's God. He's God. You're not. God is God, you are not. I know it's hard for you to think about this because you've been watching the Hallmark Channel for so long. But suppose you prayed to God, oh God, I need help. I'm in trouble. Make haste to help me, oh God. So I just throw the verse of scripture in there. And suppose God said, I don't care. God would never do that. I'm not saying that that's God's interest. I'm not saying that God is a hard God and a God without compassion. I'm not saying that at all. But if you think that God in heaven is sitting here trying to make the world revolve around you, you're out of your cotton-picking mind because God's not that way. God is not, God, if you're all saved, God is not going to make the world move for you despite your brother sitting next to you. He's not going to do that. He'll help you to help your brother, to help your other brother, to help somebody in Africa you don't never even met. People say God works in mysterious ways. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. God works the way he told you he would work right there in the Bible. Just because a man gets stirred, oh, I got to have the answers right now. If they don't get the answer right now, I'm going to kill you. Amen. Brother Mike, isn't that bad? Yeah, it's bad. That's the way you act, like the way you act. Oh, God, help me. And then run to your husband. Oh, help me. Or run to your wife. Oh, help me. Run to your preacher. Oh, help me. Nobody helps you. I'm leaving here. Nobody cares about me. Since when's it all about you? Well, I'd serve God, but he hadn't given me no money yet. Why don't you give the money you got? You say, well, why would I do that, Brother Mike? Isn't that taking a risk? That's the way things happen in the Bible. Oh, God, if you'll give me a better job, I'll do more. God's up in heaven going, I ain't even listening to that junk. I don't believe that's the God. You're talking about the God that'll laugh at when your calamity comes if you don't do what he tells you to? Is that the God you're talking about? Listen, you won't find God on the Hallmark Channel. Amen? And I'm telling you, all these movies and all this junk that Christians are flocking to now, have you seen the latest Christian movie? No, I haven't. Don't intend to watch it. God's not dead. I could have told you that, been telling you that for years. Been telling you that. Isn't it wonderful? This guy goes to class and they fuss at him and they tell him, you could have been doing that on a daily basis. That could have been you. We live in a substitute world. Hey, amen. I just love football. I just love it. Okay, go out in the backyard and play. You catch the touchdown. I was watching the other day, Ray Comfort won hundreds of people to the Lord on the street with $20 bills, and you could do that. Use hundreds. I know this preacher one time, he was a great man of God, and he could pray, and he could get all of his prayers answered. Why are you talking in the past tense? You could do that. Amen. But the problem is, you get so frustrated. I got to have it right now. And it didn't work for you the first time, so you never done it again. I'll just go ask pastor. You got a good pastor. He could probably answer the questions for you. But you know, there's one thing that I don't know. There's one thing that Brother Allen doesn't know. There's plenty of things that we don't know about your life. But what I'm trying to say about that is we don't know what God's trying to do for you. We might could give you a biblical answer about finances. We might could give you a biblical answer about marriage. We might could give you a biblical answer about winning one of your loved ones to the Lord. We could give you biblical answers about that, but we don't know what God is trying to do for you. We don't know that. We don't know why the problems are there. We don't know why the upset is there. We don't know why those things are there. You want to get it fixed. I understand that. I understand the initial urge to get things right. But that initial urge ought not to run you to the world or run you to the devil. It ought to run you to God. Oh, God, help me. He got urgency, but he also had anger. He had the urgency, but he had the anger. If you don't answer my questions, I'm going to kill you. How many of your husbands are Nebuchadnezzar? How many of your wives are Nebuchadnezzar? Old wife Nebuchadnezzar. Let me put my glasses on so I can see the reaction all the way in the back. Woman, I've told you 100 times. Well, 101's going to help, you think? You think? Oh, listen, people think I'm a nice guy because I don't fuss at my wife, beat on my wife, you know, lord over my wife. Brother Mike, you ought to be the leader of your house. I am. But I'm not King Nebuchadnezzar. Woman, if you don't get my dinner right, I'm going to throw you to a den of lions. If you don't think some Christian ladies live in a den of lions, you don't know men that have urgency. I'm so tired of things going. Get ready for church. That's more true than you know. That's more true than you know. Yes, it is. You say, why don't you treat your wife like that, Brother Mike? You're human, ain't you? Yes. You're faulty, ain't you, Brother Mike? Yes. Well, why don't you treat your wife that way? Because she knows God. Mm-hmm. Get a little bit back and forth. We don't do that much. We hadn't done. We've been married almost 20, well, we've been married for 21 years. 21 years we've been married. A few times, we've come close, right to the edge. Not to her face. She turns around to walk away. But when it gets real close, she says, let's just pray about it. Okay. settles a lot of things if you know somebody knows God. Amen. Woman, I'm going to fix you right now. Oh, let's pray about it. You know, I'm going to give you the secret to long and good, happy marriages. Works both ways, for men and for women. Marry somebody who knows God and can pray. Amen. It's wonderful. Listen at that. Amen. Listen, this king had urgency right now. He had frustration and anger. You want to know how to be a good daddy? Want to know how to be a good mama? Want to know how to be a good preacher? Want to know how to be a good Sunday school teacher, a good pastor? Want to know how to be good? You got to get to the place where you realize that all this belongs to God. All this belongs to God. This is all God's. If you're a daddy, this house belongs to God. If you're a mama, this house belongs to God. And God help you if you're in a situation where the husband or the wife believes it belongs to God and the other one doesn't. Yeah. Well, Brother Mike, that's grounds for divorce, isn't it? No. You should have got your divorce before you said, I do. Hey, amen? I'm sorry. To me, divorce is not an answer except in the case of fornication. Jesus kind of believed that way. Amen? But Paul gives you this thing about desertion. But I'm going to try not to let my wife desert me. Amen? It's another thing like church. I believe marriage was real. Amen? This society doesn't believe it's real. It's just another thing. Okay. See how your next three work out. Amen. Frustration. All that throwing stuff, I probably shouldn't have threw the sacred and holy offering plate. But at any rate, there's a lot. I bet you there's a lot of homes that have people in this building living in them where that kind of stuff happens quite frequently. Throwing stuff around. And I'm here to tell you this morning that a good prayer life would cut some of that stuff out. A good, sincere prayer life, being honest. Nothing would do some of you fathers and husbands better than to go to God and say, God, I am a jerk. I'm a first-class jerk. Well, Brother Mike, I'm right about all this stuff. What did that change? What did you being right change about anything? I'm right, Brother Mike. I'm in charge. But what is that changing? Is that going to change anything? I'm right. Big deal. You might be right about one particular thing, but you're a basket case. You're a nut. I've been studying the Bible for 40 years. Who cares how long you've been studying the Bible? Listen, let me let you in on a secret this morning. The devil can quote Scripture. The devil can quote it. The devils can quote it. Listen, the devil knows the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel better than you do. He can quote it all day long, but there's one thing about it. He can't get help from it. Amen. The devil can quote Scripture, but he can't get help from it. Hey, Christian, you're quoting Scripture, but you're not getting help from it. You're still angry, man. You're still an angry woman. You're still a complainer. You're still All them verses you quoting hadn't helped you. Get beyond that. Amen. Petty, pitiful life. You know what you're missing? You're missing a sincere prayer life where you get before God and say, God, I'm as rotten as the people I'm mad at. Amen. Then answer Daniel with counsel and wisdom. Where'd he get that? That's the next verse. Then answer Daniel with counsel and wisdom. Where'd he get that at? He got that from being quiet and just watching what was going on, getting in his Bible, getting in the Scripture. Later on, he gets big answers because he'd been reading the book of Jeremiah, a a book somebody had cut up beforehand and throw it away, but God preserved it somehow. Amen. Amen. Counsel and wisdom. That word, you say, where did Daniel get that? Daniel would pray if it was okay and pray if it wasn't okay. He said, listen what he says in verse number 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? One of the things about prayer you need to understand is don't get in a hurry. Slow down a little bit. Well, I've got to fix my wife right now. Why you harp on that all the time, Brother Mike? Because it needs to be harped on. I don't know if you know it or not, fellas, but look around at your wife if she's in here. Look around at your husband in here. That's about the only person that's on your team. That's about it. You see how the world's just splitting up and splitting up and splitting up. Families are split up. I'm talking about cousins and uncles and aunts. They're on different sides now. States are splitting up and political factions are splitting up. You better make sure you and your little wife or you and your little husband, whatever the case may be, I'm my wife's little husband. I didn't know that till yesterday, but Aunt Becky called me little man. I was like, that's about the only person you've got to rely on. Amen. Amen? You better get it together. You better get on the same team. Amen? You don't know what's going on in homes this day and time. God help you. I harp on stuff like this, and I keep coming back to this husband and wife thing because it's about the most important thing you could think about. I mean, you got to have your fellowship with God. You are in a relationship with God. You're God's son. But that woman, you married her. You married that man. You're supposed to be on the same team. I have to remind Ruth of that once in a while. You're on my team. I'm going to run over here and help so-and-so. You're on my team. You might not believe this, but sometimes I'll mess up. And I'll say, oh, brother so-and-so, he kind of rubbed me the wrong way today. And she'll say, have you prayed for him? And I'll be, you're supposed to be on my team. You're supposed to say, yes, let's pray God rain fire and brimstone on his house. Well, I don't really want her to think that way, but when it comes to being on my team, if she just said it once in a while, I'd be happier about that. Amen? But I'm on her team. Amen. One of you ladies cross her, I'll scratch your eyes out. You can't punch women. Don't be punching women. But you can scratch their, that's their tactics. It's their own tactics. Amen? No, don't, Lord have mercy. From the stuff they've said about Dr. Ruckman, in 40 years, there'll be some guy preaching up here going, Brother Mike said, you could scratch their eyes out. It's from the Lord. I said the name Dr. Ruckman. Now somebody's going to go home frustrated. Brother Mike. You need a prayer life. You need a prayer life. Amen. So you know what he did? He went to his house. Verse number, Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to his buddies. It don't say buddies, but I'm running out of time. Only got 10 minutes left. Some of you raise your eyebrows. You thought, Brother Mike must be of the devil. He said he didn't like prayer time on Wednesday night. I like prayer time at home. I don't mind giving prayer requests and stuff. What fool wouldn't like to come to church and have people pray for them? But what I want you to understand, the point I try to make sometimes, I try to make people think. I don't like Christianity where the preacher gets in some voice he never uses at home, and he has an attitude he never has when he's at home, and he talks like nobody else on the planet talks except for maybe radio hosts or something like that. Now get out your Bibles and... dramatic pause. Turn to the book of Revelation. I just turn it off. It's not real. It's not real. Lord have mercy. We'll be arguing about that for the next month. Well, Brother Mike, okay. It's a rough life. Amen. Let me get back to the point. I don't have anything against Wednesday night prayer meeting. When we grew up, we didn't have Wednesday night prayer meeting. I'm a little bit out of my element because Sunday morning we had singing and preaching, and Sunday night singing and preaching, and Wednesday night singing and preaching. Well, Brother Mike, that isn't enough. I don't know. But I don't have anything per se against coming to church and telling people what to pray for and asking other people to pray for. But this right here is personal. Daniel went home, hey, pray with me over this. And went to his other friend, pray with me over this. And went to his other, pray with me over this. And they got down and prayed. And they asked God for mercy. And things got done. And I know because I just know people. I'm not saying you're sorry. I'm not saying you're unsaved. I'm not saying. But I know that there's people that come and give other people their prayer requests that they don't even pray about. They don't even hardly think about it. I remembered to bring it up as a prayer request because I have it on my little prayer request. People have prayer requests and prayer lists that don't even pray. And you say, well, Brother Mike, we do this so everybody can write it down. No, sir. I know you're watching. Brother Mike, one of the best things we like about coming to church is watching you sit up there and react. I get that a lot. You know what I'm doing up here? I'm watching. And there's about three people that writes down the prayer list on Wednesday night. Lots of people that give prayer requests. What about that? Routine. Ritual. Daniel said, we got problems. Went home, hey, buddy, let's pray. Then they got on their face and started crying out to God, God, help us! You know what they said? I got to give you the fast version now because I don't want to preach this next week. They said, God, help us not to die with those magicians. That was their prayer. Don't let me die! God answered their prayer. They went on to the king and gave the king his answer. God works through counsel and wisdom and prayer and calling out to God and begging him for mercy. Wouldn't it be something if people went home and started praying about this house loan they're trying to get? And instead of saying, God, give me $280,000, they prayed and said, God, have mercy on me. Because I believe if God gives you a house, he's had mercy on you. Well, God gave them their answer. God answered their prayer. And you know what happened? They started praising God. Hey, God answered, praise God! I'm just not that excitable, Brother Mike. It's because you're an idiot. And it's also because you're a liar. People don't like to praise God because they don't praise him. They have no praise for him. They got praise for Emmett Smith, the running back. Let him get loose and go 20 yards. Oh! Oh, oh. Boy, that boy can run. I'm waiting for Christians to start saying, whoo, that God can answer prayer. Because he can. Well, I just don't feel that way about it. I know you feel that way about Brad Pitt. That's true. You know what happened when they went to King Nebuchadnezzar? You remember what they prayed? They prayed, don't let me die with the magicians. Something happened in the transition of praying and getting their prayer answered. And praising God, you know what the first thing Daniel done when he got down to the king? He said, hey, we got your answer. Don't kill them astrologers. Read it. Don't kill the astrologers. Some of you Baptist men would kill the astrologers. You would kill them. Let's go down there and kill some of them fags. Let's kill somebody. I'd like to wring her neck. Nancy Pelosi. You guessed that. Some guy was thinking about his wife. I don't know who it was, but the Lord just told me that. Right? No, don't do that. when Daniel first started praying, all don't let us die with them. That's in the prayer. But by the time he got his prayer done and his praising God done for answering his prayer, by the time he got down to the king's house, he said, don't kill them. Don't kill them nasty old lying, hypocritical, devilish, devil sent. There's something about the life of a man that prays, that when you pray and you interact with God and God begins to work on you and God begins to change things in your life, because the people who you think you're against, the people who you think you're against, the people who you think are your enemies, all of a sudden that stuff begins to dissolve and you don't begin to think of people like that anymore. And you begin to think of others as somebody else who needs mercy. Amen. Do you like homosexuality? No, brother. No, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like that stuff. Do you like preachers who preach false doctrine? No, I don't like it. But I guarantee you this, when I go to the Lord in prayer, I'm praying, Brother Mike, you shouldn't say stuff bad about preachers. Well, they shouldn't say stuff that are wrong. And for that matter, if I'm wrong, come talk to me about it. Come talk to me about it. Take your Bible and tell me about it. Show me about it. And if you're right, I guarantee you we'll get down on the altar and talk about it to God. Amen. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. But when you begin to pray and you begin to have God do things in your life, you begin to look around at people you thought were your enemies. That's not my enemy. That's not my enemy. That's my friend. That's somebody that needs God's mercies just like I do. But see, that's not something that just, oh, God changed my heart and it happens overnight. That's not the way. You're going to have to slow down. You're going to have to start going to God in sincere and honest prayer. When God begins to answer those prayers and change things in your life, he's also going to change your heart. He's going to change your eyes. He's going to change your attitude. He's going to change your approach. That's the way it works. Well, I got saved. Now everything's going to be different. It's a process. It's a process. I promise you that. I wish there was like 85 minutes in an hour, but there's not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and for your grace, and I pray you'd help us. Lord, I know that there's lots of things that the church needs, but God, I'm not trying to speak of it from that direction, but I know if there's anything the church needs, it's a real, honest-to-goodness prayer life where men are fellowshipping with their Maker. And I pray that for myself. I pray that for this congregation. When it comes to this revival, God, I know that prayer is going to play a large part in it. When it comes to the preaching this morning, prayer is going to play a large part in it. God, when it comes to the future of this church, prayer is going to play a large part in it. When it comes to some of these men and women staying married to one another for the rest of their lives, prayer is going to play a large part in it. When it comes to these teenagers making it in Christianity past the age of 18 and not falling into the foolishness that comes after for most young people in the church, God, I know prayer is going to play a large part in it, and I pray you'd help us. Lord, I'm not wise enough. I don't have enough power. I don't have enough wisdom. I don't have enough might to have made this message everything that it ought to be. But I know this. Nebuchadnezzar had all this anger and all this urgency, but he had no answers. And David had wisdom and counsel, and he had friends to pray with. And he had a God above that would answer his prayers. And that's the crowd I want to be in, God. And I pray you'd help me to stay in that crowd. And I pray you'd help these men and these women in this congregation to stay in that group, God. And if that's the best that can be said, then I pray you'd make that real in each heart and each life. And I'll thank you, oh God, for what you do. Help my brother this morning as he comes to preach. Help him and fill him with the power of God. And I pray, God, you'd fill us this morning with the desire to hear from you. And I'll thank you for that and praise you for all that you do. Bless the preacher, oh God, as he guides the service this morning. Give him wisdom and power. And I thank you, God, for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. We know you're real. Amen. We know that this is real. And I pray you'd make yourself known among us this morning. We'll thank you, God, for all you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. All right, take a little break this morning, about 5 minutes.